So this morning, I actually want to sort of add on or carry on. We had a big group on Wednesday. Who was here at the big group? Okay, who was not here? Okay, so I can preach for those that wasn't here. Okay, it's not the same as what I said on Wednesday, but just want to take further something that God has just been stirring in my heart. And I think for us as Christians, as the people of God, that God really just wants to, at this time, establish in our hearts. And to move us, to transform us, to lead us forward into everything that that He has for us. Amen? So are you ready? So if you can put up my title slide. I wondered about my title. Making God happy. You know, I thought through that. And this is, you know, is that biblical? Is it the right words even? You know, bringing joy to God probably would have been different. But I think making God happy is possible. I do think so. Because I think when I obey Him, I think He goes like, yeah, that's my boy. I like him. So I think He is, God is, wat dink jy, Graham? Die Here moet happy wees. Honestly, I don't know about heaven. I mean, come on, heaven is a happy place. I think if I look forward, there's lots of worship and lots of things going on there. And I think we can make a difference. I think when I don't obey, what happens then? Do I make God sad then? I think so. I don't know. I'll ask Him one day when I get there. All right, so I'm going to read a scripture today, but before I get there, sort of just want to put this in context for you. On Wednesday I shared, I asked the question, what is the most expensive thing on earth at the moment? And we had all sorts of answers, but you would not believe this. It's actually a yacht that is made from precious metals that's worth about $4.5 billion. Now you must have a lot of faith to put that amount of money onto the ocean. I tell you, if that thing sinks, we're going to have treasure hunters going there like it's going out of fashion. In actual fact, the most expensive thing at the moment is the space station, which is a total amount currently of about $150 billion worth floating out in space. And on Wednesday, we just looked at what is most precious. And when we look at man, we understand that when we see each other, when God looks at us, we are the most precious thing on this earth. No money, no amount of anything that people can do, but you and I, we are the most precious thing this side of heaven. Because a sinless man died and paid a price for each one of us. Amen. And I don't know if any other man just would die for so many people that will be so hardkoppig like we can be. Only speaking to the first row. All right, so, nah, I mean, I've found how we can honestly be hard-headed, nah.
Yeah,
headstrong. Daar sê, dis 'n mooi Engelse woord. Okay. But the scripture that I'm going to read you is probably, it's nestled nicely in a chapter in the Bible. It's probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. And in this chapter, there's so much. Jesus actually says so much in this chapter, and you can, after this service, you can go read with it, read through it, sit with it, meditate on it, hear what Christ is actually just saying to each one of us. One of the first things that He says there is that He is the vine and the Father is the vine dresser. You know, that His Father is busy pruning, His Father is busy doing a few things to this vine with the expectation of fruit. He says there that every branch that is connected to Him or that is intimate with Him will bear much fruit. That is the words that He uses. He says, man, when you're connected to this vine, you will bear lots and lots of fruit. Which I mean, if I look at that scripture, then I guess we can look at one another and have the same expectation of fruit. Your branches should be heavy with the fruit of God in your life when you are connected to this vine. This is almost like a natural state or a result that we can expect. This is what it should. It's not abnormal for someone that is connected to Christ to bear much fruit. That is what the Father does. When I'm connected to the divine, that is what should happen. Lots and lots of fruit. In this portion or in this chapter, he says that we are clean because of the words he has spoken to us. Now, you can just meditate on that. The words that Christ has spoken over you washes you and makes you clean. Makes me think of Ephesians 5, where he says that he washes the word, the church with his words, his bride. Like every husband should do is wash his bride with his words and make sure that he builds up and speaks into and calls out those things. Like a father would do it to a son and a daughter, is to speak those words that will encourage that fruit. But we are clean because of the words he has spoken over us. And again, if you go sit just with that thought and think, what does this mean? And what is the words that he's speaking to me? And maybe go dig into that and see what your father, the vine dresser in Jesus, is speaking over you. Then I think a lot will change. Amen?
Amen.
He says that when the branch is not connected to him, it will be thrown in the fire as well. Which is the part we don't want to hear. Okay. Now I snapped off branches this morning. Okay? We don't want to be the branches that end up in the fire and be burned. He says, when his word is in us, now I like this one obviously, and I think we all like this one. He says, when the word is in you, you will ask anything. And then he uses this little word, it shall be done for you. I love that.
Amen.
But here's the thing, I think we come in and we want to do the manipulation card.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily connected to the vine. We know about the vine. We kind of, you know, see the vine. But it's when I'm connected to him and his word is in me, then I can ask. The amazing thing is, and I do believe this, is the more I'm connected to this vine, the more my desires will line up with the vine, and therefore, him giving me what I ask will be so much easier. This is because when I go in my flesh and ask stuff purely from my flesh, that there's a clash here. And my flesh is not necessarily connected to this vine because I don't know about you, but I know this flesh.
Yeah.
It's got a few desires. That is not necessarily in the Bible. But it's only me. Okay, so that's all right. So, but that's such a cool portion in that chapter, is that, man, when his word is in me, when his word is in us as a congregation, we will ask and what we desire and wish, it shall be done for us. He says in the scripture that God is glorified when we bear much fruit. When we are heavy with the fruit, God is glorified. When we keep his commandments, we abide in his love. When I can keep his commandments, man, when I know them and I follow the instructions that he's given us, then I abide in his love. It's like that safe space. When I know what he's instructing me, I can stay in that and I will be safe because his love is around about me. But it's when I move beyond those boundaries that things become a bit scary. He says that his joy will remain in us as a result, and our joy will be full. Our joy will be full. So if you are lacking this morning, then maybe you should just take stock of where you are at. His joy will remain in you, and as a result, your joy will be full. So I guess we can almost not say that I don't have joy. Because when I'm in him, I should have joy. In the middle of anything. In actual fact, the most joyous people in South Africa should be the Christians right now. And then he gets to this portion of scripture. This is the part I want to read to us, and this is the part I want us to look at. John 15, which is the chapter that I'm actually referring to. Verse 12 to 14, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, and have love, as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." And I think when I read this scripture, and like I shared on Wednesday, I think probably the one thing that hit me the most is just one little word there, the fourth one in the top sentence. They say, "This is my commandment. This is my instruction. This is more than my expectation. This is what I want you to do. This is how you should live." In other words, when we look at fruit, this should be the natural result because you obey me.
Yeah.
But it's funny in Christendom how we don't like the word command. You know, I mean, come on. If I say I command you, all I'll see probably is rebellion. No?
Yeah.
Parents?
Yeah.
You try and command your kids, and what comes out? Not what you commanded, correct? Seldom. Sometimes. Some of you have angels for children, so you understand they just go for it. But the rest of us expect kind of the opposite at times. It is amazing when they do what you say.
Yeah.
They should obey.
Biblically, they should obey. First time obedience should be the thing. It's funny how we as parents want first time obedience for our kids. But when God speaks, we don't want to give Him first time obedience. But none of us are guilty of that, so that's all cool. All right, so He says, "This is my commandment. This is what I want you to do." And He says, "That you love one another." Years ago, Loretta, the saying says, put that in your pipe and smoke it. It's not a good thing for church, okay? But I mean, It's stricken that from the record. But any case, that you love one another. And then he says how? He says, "As I have loved you." And then if we want love one another like this, or there's no greater love here than for me to lay down my life for you. And I don't know about you, but this is a tough one. Because I think we like ourselves. I don't necessarily like you so much. So I'm gonna die for you. Family, maybe, yeah, I can do that. But you see, there's this love that's supposed to be between us as children of God, that we will give up everything for one another. Which is probably the one thing that the devil consistently resists. It is the very reason why when you walk into a church, someone is going to rub you up the wrong way. Why? Because the devil does not want us to love one another in this way.
Yeah.
Can anybody argue with it?
No.
I don't think so. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you will know that you're going to get offense or take offense somewhere here. You're not going to give it because offense cannot be given, but man's offense is taken. And so much of that relationship dysfunction that's going on is merely a result of the devil don't wanting us to do this.
Yeah.
And we need to know who our enemy is. We need to resist him. Now, as if this is not good enough, you know, to lay down my life for my friends, then in John 13, which is two chapters earlier, which is the portion I looked at on Wednesday, Jesus says the following. He says, "A new commandment..." Listen, it was new to them. Keeping the law and so on, this was new. He says, "Okay, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another." And then he says, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another."
Wow.
That sounds so easy. like Jesus loved me. I love and all the people like this. And then 35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So again, we see that this love thing that's going on in the church, the love thing that's going on in what Christ is ruling over, when we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, what will come? Love. Why? Because God is love. So when I say, Lord, let your kingdom come, then this should be the natural result, the natural state that is reigning right here. In our lives, right here. Love for one another. Because that love is the very testimony to the world that we are following Jesus Christ. So you know what's the one thing we should fight through to fight for tooth and nails? Is this love. Because of my limited experience of most of the people in this church, you're just rare, amazing mense. You're really cool guys. I count myself privileged to be the pastor of this congregation because only the cool people come here.
Yes.
Yeah? I'll take my bribes later.
Thank you, Jesus.
But this is a portion of scripture, this in the one in chapter 15, that I almost want us to not rush over. It's not a Sunday scripture and then we move on. I wanna trust that God will take this scripture and massage it in over the next, for the rest of this year and beyond. But at least for the rest of this year. How do we love one another more effectively? How do I walk with you in such a way that the world will know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ? How can I lay my life down for you? No, Quibus. We will just show it, but that one we don't want to do when we lay our lives down for one another. That just sounds like hard work. Someone has to die, and I don't like that. But here's the reality. And listen, I haven't got this down. I think I'm as much a work in progress as you are. But if there's one thing that will transform and change society and the world, it will be the very fact that we love as Christ loved us.
Yeah.
And listen, we can love because we've first been loved.
Yeah.
Our sins are forgiven. If you want to remember why you need to love, then just think of everything that's been removed from your life, that's been forgiven for you, and then love from that place.
Yeah.
You see, our priority, you can put up that next point. Our priority is to love one another. Just nudge someone there. Say, listen, our priority is to love one another. The pathway which we follow to do so is as Jesus Christ loved us. So it's my priority. And then I follow this pathway that Jesus has already paved. He's already done it. He's already loved in the way that I should love. He's already showed it. So all I have to do is follow that path. To do it in the same manner. Nah?
Yeah.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So when I read scripture and I understand scripture, I will see the path. And how we are supposed to love one another. We will understand more on what this dynamic here between us should be and should look like. When we look at scripture. See, this commandment that Christ gave is sure. And it's a sure expectation. And it should be a natural result on our lives. So what does this pathway look like? As He loved us. What does this pathway look like? We had a bit of a chat around that on Wednesday, but I'll just put out a few things there for you to consider on how we should love one another. The first thing is, He left heaven. He left the right hand of His Father and He came to earth. And essentially became a nobody. Carpenter. like you and me. Didn't live in a palace. He could have done that. You could have come to heaven and said, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll stay in the biggest palace, which he didn't. He wasn't even born in a hospital. Just in a clown beast. You know, there where the hay and everything is. Most mothers would freak out. Where's the hygiene? How can you give birth in these conditions? That's where he was born. You ask any mom about to give birth right now, they've got a birth plan, mom. Man.
Yeah.
We had one. We even picked the gynae and the anesthetist and the doctor and everybody. The plan was there. But Jesus chose to be born in the fullness of time in a manger next to him. So he left his father. He left heaven. He left comfort to go to the world. He left the 24/7, 365 days of a year worship that the angels were standing singing his worship. He left all that. And then came to what? A simple earth where you and I dwell. And then when he was starting to be crucified, if I can sum this up, he faced accusations. Firstly, he faced a wrongful arrest.
Yeah.
He did nothing wrong. And then there was lots of accusations and trials and spitting and hitting and all sorts of stuff happening there. He suffered the betrayal and the abandonment of those closest to him.
Sure.
They just left him. Like, I don't know him. Kind of the attitude. They watch from afar. Ooh, don't want to be so close. The beatings, the ridiculing. I've thought a lot about this. That thorn of crown. A crown of thorns. The thorn of crowns. No, that's a new word. Was I thorn? I don't know. I think it's there. But think of this. A crown of thorns being placed on your head and then hit with a stick. Sounds like a nice experience, you know, by blood circulation and everything get going. No, it's terrible. He faced it. Yeah, it's okay. He put that thorn on. We've got a crown of thorns here. Man has got like kameeldoorn thorns. It's like these kind of, I'm sure that wasn't like that. It was probably smaller. But still, he faced that. All the punishment and everything that came with that. The spear in his side. And then probably the worst moment of everything is when his father left him. And the first time in his entire life, his father was not close to him. He chose to love us through all that. He chose to stay on that cross. On that cross, Scripture says you could have called the angels. He would have said, psh, take them out, and they would have done it. And he chose not to. So when I think of this portion of Scripture, and I have to consider now, how do I love you? Then I have to recognize what the pathway looks like. And the pathway for me looks like a place and a walking where there's definitely a lot of dying to myself. Because I find when it's about me, I cannot walk this pathway. Well, I struggle. I sometimes think I've got it. And then I don't got it. Then I hear, but that's not so good what you're doing there. And then Jesus says, as I loved you, you love one another. Now, this puts things in a bit of a different perspective for us. This puts things in a way that maybe we should, you know, And here's the thing, can I just say this? The fact that Christ commanded it says to me that I have a choice. I can decide to love you or not. I can decide to obey or not. I have a choice. And in church, in the church family, not just ours, but globally, we have a choice on how we love one another. It's easy to love the ones that you like. Yeah. Nah? It's not so easy to love the ones that you are they in church again today? Why did they? Why is she leading the worship? I don't like it when Lorraine leads the worship. I like when you worship.
I'll pray for them.
Okay, we'll slaughter you up here. You know, biblically, I mean, just like, okay, never mind. We are compelled to pause to consider what our Lord and Savior is saying here and what the impact is of what He's saying here. It demands contemplation. It demands me taking the place where I'm going to pause and say, okay, Lord, how do I respond with what you are saying here right now? How do I respond, Lord? What am I going to obey? You know, Scripture speaks about counting the cost. And I think this morning is one of those opportunities for us to count cost. So I want you quickly to take your Bibles. Go to John 15. And I'm going to give us a quick moment right here in the service right now. And I want you to sit with the scripture. Maybe you can just put it up. Maybe you want to get it on your phone because you want to highlight now. You want to think about it now. You can look at John 15, 12 to 14 and John 13 as well. And then you can just sit and say, Father, this is where I'm at. Can we maybe put some light music on? We're just going to give you about 3 minutes quickly. I really want you to sit with this. How are you going to respond from here? Because you see, this can be a very nice sermon and everybody can go, yes, Jacobus, that was rough. But it was nice and it was good and yes, we should do that and nothing can change. And then the devil will go, yes. But we want to make sure that we become doers of the word, not just hearers. Amen? Can you put it a slightly softer? Okay. All right, so. Give you about 3 minutes. Let's just contemplate and meditate and think and ponder about what the scriptures say.
I'm bound.
So I trust that that scripture is hitting home a bit more and getting right there into the fiber of your being. But even as I pondered upon this, I think the one response that I felt is probably the most proper response that I can come up with is simply, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my life. Change me. I want to do what you are saying here, Father, but I realize that I cannot do it from myself. See, this church that we are part of, the Church of Jesus Christ, is not about ritual or form or anything else. The Church of Jesus Christ is about love. Love firstly for one another, but love for the world too. And I think when we lose sight of that, when we remove that from the view, we become harsh, we become critical, we become insincere, we become visionless. Our lives seem to have no direction, and the church kind of just falls all over the place.
Yeah.
You see, even the manifestations of miracles and signs and wonders is an expression of God's love for us.
Amen.
It's not just random. John 3 verse 16 and 17, which you know so well, in the TPT version says this: for this is how much God loved the world. He gave His one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in Him will never perish but experience everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it. Don't you see the love of God just in that portion? We quote that scripture so easily. God's desires for each one of the people on this earth to have eternal life. So how do we do this love thing in? I guess firstly, it's a heartfelt decision based on what we have read in verse 12 to do it. I'm going to do this. In other words, I have to work at it. I have to obey from a place of being in the vine. Because again, I cannot do it from myself. I am in the vine. And the result, the fruit of that will be this love and loving in the way that Christ is loving us. So if you don't know how to love, then just plug into the vine. Oh well, maybe you should stay in the vine. Don't suddenly look for the vine if I need to decide how to love, but I need to be in the vine.
Yeah.
And remembering that without Him, I can do nothing. That is verse 15, chapter 15, verse 5, the B part. He says it, without me, that scripture gets me. Without me, you can do nothing. So just that moment when I think I can do something, then I remember that scripture and I need to remember I need to just stay in the vine. See, love is not just a fit, you know, one size fits all situation. We all love from that place of being intimate. When we considered the body last week, we saw that each one of us has been given different graces and things that God is enabling us. And it's when I walk in that way, the way that He's put me together, that I can love you the best and you can love me the best. You know, we're not supposed all to love in the same way as the palm trees or the extroverts do it. The extroverts think so, yes. What's wrong with the rest of you? I mean, come on, just get a bit of joy in your body, and then all the introverts love deeply. And the introverts or extroverts are just all over the show. So we are called to love differently. But we are called to love one another.
Yeah.
Love as Jesus would love. Love as Jesus would love where He has placed you. Your context has been divinely prepared just for you. Your workplace, your family, your friends, it's been divinely put together by a God who loves people. And has uniquely enabled you and me to love them in the best way possible. But we need to love as Christ loved us. In that situation. Draw from the wine, from the words that Jesus has spoken to us, and let that flow out of our being. Let that love the people. He even gave us His Holy Spirit to help us. And if we look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is?
Love.
So I've got no excuse. Because the Spirit of Christ dwells in me. So what is one of the what is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the fact that He dwells within me, the natural result of Him being in me, is the fact that I'm going to have love. I'm also going to have some joy and some peace and some patience and some kindness and some goodness and some faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I'm going to have it all, man. You see, if I want to work at this, I just need to work at getting deep into the vine. It's not something I can produce. This is the fruit of Him dwelling in me. And I think sometimes we try and make it happen.
Yeah.
I have to have some gentleness. In any case, John 15, the 16 to 17 say this: You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit. Just nudge someone there, say, you have been chosen. And that your fruit should abide, that your fruit should remain. Your fruit is not temporal fruit. Your fruit is not going to disappear in a moment's time. The fruit that He has ordained over our lives is the fruit that remains. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, again, He may give it to you. These things I suggest to you so that you will love one another.
Come on.
Ish, man, where's the topics? Says we have a choice. We have a choice what this congregation, what this gathering of the saints is going to look like. May we freak the devil out in Jesus' name. May he not want to come here because there's so much love in this house. Not just on a Sunday, but in the week too. Wherever we go. For this reason, and as we contemplate and think of this, we have thought it good to put a bit of a, a campaign together, if you want to call it a campaign. I don't know what to call the thing. But we want to put a deliberate target on the wall, which we're going to aim for as a church for the next 6 months, which we're going to trust God will happen. And this is the next slide. No, you have to, yeah. We want to lose no one. We want to lose no one. We're going to love them to life. We're going to love them like Christ loved us. We're going to walk by the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to go where God wants us to go because we want to lose no one. When someone walks through that door, look, I understand not everybody that walks here will necessarily stay. But man, for as long as they're here, we're going to love them.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Why? Because it's a natural state of being in Christ.
Yeah.
What if we lose no one? Just tap there with someone there next to you. Say, hey, we're going to lose no one. We're going to lose no one. Are you ready? See, Jesus chose you to love those around you, to love the world through you and me. Let's allow this fruit to hang heavy, to allow God to minister to the world through us. May we demonstrate His great love to this world as we die for those around us. May we allow the Spirit of God to move in us in such a way that love will not be hard, but it will simply be who we are. And that the world may know that we are His disciples. We will obey the the command of our Master, our Lord, our Savior. And here's the reality, I think, for me at least, I need your help to be like that. And you need my help. At least some of you. But we need each other. Can we demonstrate? Can we outlove one another?
Sure.
Let's stand.